I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
There's several things I find interesting about the dark matter search, and that is there's a lot of these really sensitive detectors set up or being developed to detect other things like neutrinos and things like that. And what people are discovering is, oh, we didn't detect the thing that we wanted, but surprise, we just created a really sensitive dark matter detector.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Dr. Paul Hosmer, Chairman and Associate Professor of Physics here at Hillsdale College. We'll talk in depth in a moment with him about 2025, the year in physics. And later on in today's program, we can talk with Dr. Ivan Pongrasek from Hillsdale's Economics Department about his double life as a surf guitar player. First, we're joined by Dr. Paul Hosmer. He is Chairman and Associate Professor of Physics here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Hosmer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We talked at the beginning of 2025 and made a note to do it again at the beginning of 2026, and we've made good on this. The year in physics, this time looking back at the previous year, 2025. When we do look back at 2025 in physics, what kind of a year was it? How would you sort of describe what happened these past 12 months?
Well, it was another really great year in physics. Physics is a really exciting science. There's always really neat things going on, and I feel like it's been successful every year since about 1687 when Isaac Newton published the Principia. And so we had another really great one. So we had some really powerful theories confirmed, tantalizing discrepancies persist, which are always exciting. Neat applications are coming into view, and also global defense systems tested, which I think is really important.
All right, so we've got this interstellar object. Is it 3I Atlas? Is that what it is?
Yes, that's right. So 3I Atlas, and we're really excited about this. So the I stands for interstellar. Mm-hmm. So this is an interstellar object that has visited and is visiting the solar system. So this is an object that has come from another star system and passed through the vastness of space and somehow, against all odds, has made it to our solar system and is zooming through. So the I in 3I stands for interstellar. 3 stands for the fact that this is only the third such object we've ever observed passing through the solar system mm-hmm. from interstellar space. It's super exciting because, you know, instead of having to go off thousands of years to another star to study these kind of things, this thing happened to pass by our neighborhood, and we get to look at it as it zooms through. So that's just really exciting.
We also have these occasional headlines, and a few in 2025, about city killer asteroids or something getting close, and there's a 3% chance this happens, but then it's 1%. And how worried should people actually have been, or perhaps should they be in the future when they hear headlines like that?
Yes. So, well, the 3I Atlas wasn't, I guess, in danger of hitting the Earth, but in right about the beginning of 2025, we did observe an asteroid, which at first observations looked like it had a potential to actually strike the Earth in the future, sometime in the near future, 2032 or something like that. And so when it was first observed and we're getting the dynamics of it, they put the probability of a collision with Earth at something like 1%, which maybe doesn't sound that high, but considering the fact that at that time they didn't know exactly how big it was and it could be a global killer, mm-hmm. 1% sounds really high. And in fact, There's a scale called the Torino scale, which gives us some sense of how worried we should be. It goes from 0 to 10, and this one got up to 3. So we should have been worried at a level of 3 out of 10. Now, they made more observations, and it actually got up to 4% chance that it might hit in the future. And then, fortunately, after that, after more observations, the probability went down to almost 0. And so we're now pretty certain that it will not, in fact, hit the Earth. But kind of a funny twist, as we made more observations and the James Webb Telescope observed it, actually the probability that it might hit the moon started to go up, and that's now at 4%. So we're safe on Earth, but it may hit the moon. In fact, we know it. If it does hit the moon, it would happen at about 10:19 a.m. on Wednesday, December 22nd, 2032. So put that on your calendars. And, you know, it's not that big when it hits the moon. If it hits the moon, it wouldn't really budge the moon very much, but it could kick up dust, and that dust could come to Earth, and it could disrupt satellites around Earth. So it is still something that one might be concerned about, and it's concerning enough that, you know, there's been discussion of whether we should try to interdict this in the meantime. But how worried should we be? It's not going to hit the Earth. So that's good news.
We'll set our calendars for 2032, and there's an impact imminent. We'll
that's right. Again. Buy your Christmas presents before December 22nd, 2032.
Dr. Paul Hosmer with us. We talk about the year in physics 2025. The Large Hadron Collider tested the Standard Model again this year. It survived. You got to tell people to first what the collider is, what the Standard Model is, and then why this might be a big deal.
Yeah, so before that, I'd say this is one of the really cool things about physics, is that we get to talk about cosmic and astronomical things, and they're really big and the cool things out in space. But then physics also gets to go down to this topic, which is tiny fundamental particles, the fundamental particles and fundamental forces. So the Large Hadron Collider, or the LHC, is kind of the world's premier high-energy particle accelerator at CERN in Geneva, Switzerland. And so this is a huge machine pumping a lot of energy into accelerating particles to test fundamental physics. In particular, one of the things it does is test the Standard Model of particle physics. The Standard Model of particle physics is one of our two premier theories of fundamental theories of nature, the other one being Einstein's general theory of relativity. So general theory of relativity tells us about cosmological things and gravity, and the Standard Model of particle physics tells us about almost everything else, all the fundamental particles, all the fundamental forces except gravity. And so these are two really powerful theories, and the LHC at CERN is one of the best places to test the Standard Model of particle physics, because it can produce these particles and study the predictions that the Standard Model says for their production and for their decay and things like that. So the LHC has been busily producing these kind of particles. In particular, it, like no other place, can produce these really heavy quarks, like top quarks and bottom quarks and the Higgs boson, which you may have heard of, and the W and Z boson. And look how they interact. Mm-hmm. And so far, you know, in 2025, generally speaking, the Standard Model predictions in these very obscure, almost decays in events has been confirmed. And so the Standard Model continues to survive.
Talking with Dr. Paul Hosmer, who's chairman and associate professor of physics here at Hillsdale College, about the year in physics 2025. This has been an annual discussion about the search for dark matter, which still hasn't shown up directly. Did the picture change at all these past 12 months?
Well, not really. So dark matter is one of the really exciting areas in physics. So if you ask what are the most interesting and exciting vistas for physics, what is dark energy? What is dark matter? Dark matter, we think it exists from various independent observations in astronomy that affect the dynamics of galaxies that we see through gravitational lensing. But we just don't know really fundamentally what it is. Is it primordial black holes? Mm-hmm. Or is it small particles that are like the ones that we know, electrons and things like that, but just don't interact by the same forces, like the electromagnetic force? We're pretty sure it does not interact with the electromagnetic force. That's why it's called dark matter. The electromagnetic force has to do with light or photons. And so these things are going to be very hard to detect. Anything that doesn't interact with the electromagnetic force are going to be very hard to detect. So it's pretty wide open as to what these things are. And so there's a whole lot of ideas how to try to figure out what they are and test those things. And all those things are going on all over. Physicists all over the world are doing these things. And unfortunately, this year, we did not detect dark matter or discover what is the answer. Is it primordial black holes or other or particles? But that's not necessarily a failure, because what happens is any one of these kind of dark matter searches that fails tells us something about what dark matter is not.
Uh-huh.
And so it kind of limits the scope of what the possibilities that are still out there for dark matter to be. And so we continue to kind of, you know, eliminate possibilities. So that's exciting. There's several things I find interesting about the dark matter search. And that is there's a lot of these really sensitive detectors set up or being developed to detect other things like neutrinos and things like that. And what people are discovering is, oh, we didn't detect the thing that we wanted, but surprise, we just created a really sensitive dark matter detector and we can eliminate certain possibilities for dark matter. And so you get a kind of an added benefit to a lot of the detectors that are out there.
That's Dr. Paul Hosmer, Chairman and Associate Professor of Physics here at Hillsdale College. We'll continue in a moment with 2025, the year in physics. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Indulge in an unforgettable evening at Turtle Bay's Chocolate After Dark.
Taking place two separate nights, Thursday, February 5th and Friday, February 6th, from 6 to 9 p.m.
at Turtle Bay Museum in Reading. Enjoy delicious chocolate treats, fine local wines,
live music, and a fun night out. Perfect for date night or a special treat for you and your friends.
This 21 and over event is too sweet to miss and sure to sell out.
Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay Museum, February 5th and 6th.
Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store. We're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right. It's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Or there as in they are. Nope, these are three completely different words. There is only used as a possessive when written with an I. Most commonly, people mix up they are and their possessive. Don't do that. These words are two different parts of speech and aren't interchangeable. Tune in next week for the final there, and that's your Grammar Minute. Visit thegrammarminute.com for more tips and tricks.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network and all of our great shows, including back episodes of this program, plus Imprimis, The Larry Arnn Show, and the Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast, plus more. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. We're talking with Dr. Paul Hosmer, Chairman and Associate Professor of Physics at Hillsdale College, about 2025, the year in physics. Dr. Hosmer, you had mentioned previously black holes in an answer.
And 2025 had the possible discovery of a supermassive black hole in a nearby galaxy. Why was that such a surprise?
Yes. So the nearby galaxy is the dwarf galaxy, the Large Magellanic Cloud. So our really nearest neighbor kind of large galaxy is the Andromeda Galaxy. That's several million light years away. But our near neighbor dwarf galaxy is the Large and Small Magellanic Clouds, which are not visible in the northern hemisphere. They're fairly close, and they kind of keep the Milky Way galaxy company. Well, it's known that large galaxies are going to have supermassive black holes in their centers. In fact, we've basically directly observed two such in our galaxy and in another. But these smaller galaxies shouldn't necessarily have these black holes. Well, the story with the Large Magellanic Cloud starts with these stars called hypervelocity stars. So it turns out that, you know, when you look up in the sky and you see the stars, they're fairly stationary other than due to the rotation of the Earth. They go around. They look like they're going around, but they seem to be kind of sitting still relative to each other. They're actually moving around somewhat, but we've noticed about 1,000 stars in the galaxy that are moving extremely fast, hypervelocity stars. And so that's kind of neat. Where do they come from? The thought was they come from interactions with a supermassive black hole in the center of our galaxy, kind of tearing apart binary star systems, and one gets sucked in and one star flies out with a really high velocity. So we've been looking at these, and it turns out some of these stars, hypervelocity stars, seem to be coming not from the center of the galaxy, but from the Large Magellanic Cloud. And so the idea then would be that there is a supermassive black hole doing a similar thing, but in the Large Magellanic Cloud. And I think it's kind of a neat picture. I like this story because you have this picture of this beautiful, peaceful, nearby dwarf galaxy, but it's hurling these extremely fast stars in our direction, which, you know, we're not really in danger of getting hit by these things. Space is very vast.
Yeah.
But I think it's a neat picture to think about.
A few more minutes with Dr. Paul Hosmer as we talk about the year in physics 2025. The magnetic pole still moving this past year. What's going on? What explains that? And hear a little bit about a potential magnetic pole flip. Is that real? Is that overhyped?
Yes. So this is real. So we've talked about death from above and, let's talk about death from below. So this has to do with the Earth's magnetic poles. So a few interesting facts regarding the Earth's magnetic poles. One is the fact that, so that you have the north and south geographic pole. That's kind of the axis on which the Earth rotates. But the Earth is also like a large bar magnet with north and south magnetic poles. And those things are not exactly located at the geographic poles. We've known since about 1830s that they're located a little bit off of those. So the north, the magnetic pole in the north was actually, when it was discovered in 1830, somewhere in northern Canada. And since we've known the location of that pole, we've noticed that it's actually moving. It's actually drifting, and it's actually drifting off into the Arctic Ocean and heading on over to Siberia, which is interesting. And in fact, it moves maybe something like 6 miles a year when we first discovered it, but recently it's been moving more like 30 miles a year towards heading on over to Siberia, which is really kind of a dramatic thing. So what's causing that? Well, in the end, the Earth's magnetic field is caused by motion of kind of a molten iron core of the Earth. you have like a conductive material, you have electric currents in there. Electric currents create magnetic fields, and that's generating the Earth's magnetic field. But there's complicated dynamics with the motion of the iron core, some turbulence and complex motion, and so that can make these poles kind of drift or move. You know, that's interesting from the point of view of navigation. So that's where this story comes in 2025. So the United States government and the British government get together and produce every 5 years what's called the World Magnetic Model, which is going to be, this is how for GPS purposes and things like that, we will identify what the magnetic field looks like and where the North Pole is. And so that's significant. And that came out in 2025. And sure enough, the poles continued to move. And some people have gotten nervous about this because they think that it possibly indicates that the Earth's magnetic field is going to weaken, collapse, and then reverse polarity. And we know that this has happened before in the past. So this is something that does happen. We've never seen it happen live. So we're not sure that this kind of motion of the pole is a forerunner of a collapse or reversal. But if a collapse reversal would happen, that could be a negative thing. The Earth's magnetic field protects us from the high energy cosmic rays from the sun. We know that a lot of animals use the magnetic field to navigate or migrate. So one would think that a collapse of the magnetic field could be kind of cataclysmic. But yeah. The good news is not everyone agrees that the movement is a forerunner of the collapse. And if the collapse and reversal is going to happen, that's on the time frame of thousands of years.
Okay.
So
we won't be here
long term.
Yeah. As we wrap up, there's some areas in physics in 2025 that saw some incremental developments, but those developments could have some very practical applications. What should we talk about here?
Yeah. So a lot of what we've been talking about is kind of fundamental physics and just what's going on out there. But obviously physics has lots of practical applications or developments. And so some of the things that have been on the radar and have been developing this year is obviously more work on quantum computing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Nobel Prize in Physics in 2025 had to do with quantum mechanical effects in electrical circuits on a macroscopic scale, which is really neat. So obviously quantum computing is becoming extremely important. In fact, Hillsdale College Physics Department offered our first class. Dr. Jim Peters offered quantum computing this year. We have development of a nuclear clock. So you may have heard of the atomic clock, which is a very precise timekeeping device used in things like GPS and also precise scientific research. Now, nuclear clock is here, which is much more precise than the atomic clock. There's been incremental, movement in terms of solving engineering problems with nuclear fusion. So that's still coming on the horizon. And then something that I always find exciting are kind of possible medical applications for nuclear physics. So in particular, there's been some developments with proton therapy. So that's using proton beams to attack things like tumors, cancer tumors. And so developments on how to deliver the proton beams in a better way. There's been development on muon beams, which would be something like, doing things similar to X-rays, let's say, but have some great advantages if we could manipulate and use muon beams. And so things like that, are coming down the pike and just look really exciting and could be very beneficial for humanity in various ways.
And they might make next year's Year in Physics 2026. We just have to wait and see.
Yes.
Dr. Paul Hosmer is Chairman and Associate Professor of Physics here at Hillsdale College as we talk about the Year in Physics 2025. Dr. Hosmer, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, Dr. Ivan Pongrasek, Professor of Economics here at Hillsdale College. We'll talk about surf guitar. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Hey, it's Scott?
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Rocky Patel Emerald. Coming in at number 6 on Cigar Aficionado's Top 25 with a 95 rating, this box-pressed cigar offers great combustibility, a smooth draw, and delicate flavors of ground coffee, hickory, leather, and spice. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Carrie Grell. From the heart behind Organic Pilates, I want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created for intentional living. We offer apparel, wellness, and everyday pieces designed to support how you move and how you live. Harmony, where movement meets intention. We're located at 1264 California Street. We're in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to welcome you in.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to follow us on X. We're at Hillsdale Radio. You can find the podcast network at HC Podcasts. We're joined by Dr. Ivan Pongrasek. He is William E. Hibbs, Ludwig von Mises Chair of Economics and Professor of Economics at Hillsdale College. And for our conversation today, important to know he's also a talented and successful guitarist. Dr. Pongrasek, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Scott, and thanks for being so kind, too. I appreciate it.
Not just any kind of guitarist, but a surf guitarist, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I guess we start by asking, how does an economics professor become a surf guitar player? Although in your case, it's almost the reverse, right? A surf guitarist becomes an economics professor.
Right. I started playing in bands when I was about 19 and different kinds of bands, metal, alternative, shoegaze even. And in fact, I was in a shoegaze band when I started grad school. And in the middle of my grad school career, I fell in love with surf music and formed my first surf band, the Space Cossacks. So I was very much still in grad school, which is probably not the best thing to do when you're in grad school. Yes, no. But I went ahead and did it anyway, and it worked out.
So surf rock has a very distinctive sound to it. How would you describe it for our listeners? What attracted you to that particular style and not, say, metal or something else? Mm-hmm. And what keeps you interested in that style of guitar playing?
It is very distinctive. It's a style that goes back to the early 60s, and it was somewhat of a global phenomenon. Most people associate surf music with Southern California, mm-hmm. and rightly so. That's where, strictly speaking, the actual surf music was born. But at the time, as kind of the early rock and roll pioneers were coming across some hard times, and you had the deaths of Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens and Gene Vincent and Eddie Cochran, all of those early rock and roll guys, you started seeing a rise of instrumental rock music, mm-hmm. with people like Link Wray and Duane Eddy and Johnny and the Hurricanes. And they were actually pretty successful acts, and they had pretty major hits. And not just in the United States, but globally. And that kind of inspired this new wave of rock and roll music, which was instrumental. Mm-hmm. And maybe instrumental music was much more acceptable back in the early 60s. And I don't think it is very much anymore at all. People just cannot figure it out. Like, what is going on? When is the singer going to come in? You know, you got to tell me what the song is about, right? I'll actually give me some lyrics. But what happened is that there was a rise of several acts in the early 60s, California, about 61, 62, that became very closely tied to the rise of the Fender mm-hmm. guitar amplifier instruments. And the Fender company was just coming into its own at that point, and they were situated in Orange County, California, not on the coast, a little bit further inland. But in particular, the guy that is referred to today as the king of surf guitar, Dick Dale, he's formed a very successful partnership with Fender, with the Fender company, and they started feeding him all these new instruments, and that really ended up creating the sound of surf music. So it is, it's a guitar-led sound. It's it tends to be kind of a clean, it's not very distorted guitar mm-hmm. sound. And there's the use of the reverb effect, yeah. which is such a major part of surf music, which gives it this sound like as though it's at the bottom of a well. Mm-hmm. You can kind of even hear like a little, you know, like echo inside of that reverb. And the interesting thing about it is that Dick Dale was able to use that reverb effect to capture the feeling and the sound of surfing the big waves. And there's this kind of a white noise element. I've never surfed, so I have no idea, but I'm told that if you are, you know, riding a big wave, that it's just white noise. Yeah. And he was a surfer, and apparently quite a good surfer. And so he latched onto that newly created reverb effect by Fender Company in order to capture the feeling of surfing and the sound of surfing. But it's that sound that Dick Dale created, which is a very actually powerful sound. He started using incredibly loud amplifiers mm-hmm. that were made especially for him by Fender, the first 100-watt amplifiers that were ever made, 5-6 years before the Marshall amplifiers, which everybody kind of associates with heavy metal, the yep. really powerful amplifiers. Well, Dick Dale was playing at those volumes about 5 or 6 years before any of the Brit guys, British guys did. And, it tends to be highly melodic. It tends to be led by this, you know, kind of clean guitar, but that also has quite a bit of aggression to it, and yeah. it can do both. It can, you know, be more kind of softer or extremely high energy. So, and anything in between.
How were you introduced to that style of music? I love surf music. There's a DJ in Chicago who is partial to it as well. And so he would sprinkle in these cuts mm-hmm. of adventures and Lively Ones and others into the music. How were you introduced?
It's a very strange story, actually, because as probably some people around here know, I was not born in the United States. I was born and raised in former Yugoslavia, which no longer exists. Now it's Croatia. And in Yugoslavia, when I was growing up, there was a British instrumental band that was very popular. And they were an early 60s band called The Shadows. Mm-hmm. And The Shadows had a massive hit in 1960. With a track called Apache. And they actually ended up being such a major influence on a whole generation of British guitar heroes. People like David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits, Brian May of Queen, Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath, and even people like Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page and even Clapton. All of them are, they will just start talking to them about The Shadows and they will not shut up. That was like an early love. And The Shadows ended up being very popular in Yugoslavia in the 60s as well. And my dad was also a guitar player and was into rock and roll music. And he ended up playing in a couple of bands himself back in the 60s. And one of them was The Shadows, kind of a tribute band. They played a lot of Shadows material. And so I grew up hearing both my dad playing The Shadows material at home, but also every time that he would get together with his buddies, the guitars would come out. Usually, always just acoustic guitars, mm-hmm. but they would always play a bunch of Shadows tracks. And the Shadow sound is not, strictly speaking, surf music, but it's got a lot of similarity.
Yeah.
And so when I came to the United States, I was absolutely in love with The Shadows, but The Shadows are completely unknown in the United States. No one's heard of them. And so I started reading these guitar magazines, and I would see, that was the 1984, 85, and that was right at the tail end of what's come to be called the second wave of surf music. And so there were a whole bunch of surf bands that were written about in these guitar magazines, and they would sometimes reference The Shadows. And it was like, oh, there's a connection here, because I never heard of surf music prior to mm-hmm. that. And this is the mid 80s. It's not like you can just go to the internet and right. check it out. Right. And I was living in the middle of nowhere. We were with Russell Kirk up in central Michigan. So I couldn't even go to a store and like just buy some surf records. That was not possible. But I started reading about it and figured out that there is a connection there. And then when I finally got to college, I was at Central Michigan University my first year, and there was a very cool little independent record store, and I got a record by the Challengers, who was a pretty well-known surf band. There was a record label called Rhino Records, which, legendary, released a ton of re-releasing a lot of this stuff, and they released the Challengers collection, and I looked at this album, and the guys look just like The Shadows, the suits with the Fender guitars. And it's like, oh, and then I flipped it over, and there were two Shadow songs that were covered by them. They were the only surf band that actually covered The Shadows. And that happened to be the record that I came across. So that was around 1986. And at that point, surf music was absolutely on my radar.
Yeah.
And I started seeking out more and more of it. And I discovered Dick Dale and then some compilations, and it just opened up this whole new world to me.
Talking with Dr. Ivan Pongrasek, professor of economics and surf guitar player. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
A message from Todd with Reading Online Marketing.
Here's the truth. Your competitors aren't smarter, and they aren't better. Their marketing is.
Reading Online Marketing has years of experience and results backed by real data to put you on top. For maximum impact, ask about exclusive KCNR radio and digital marketing packages. Put your business everywhere your customers are.
We are local and can answer all your questions. Call me at 530-378-4060 or visit ReadingOnlineMarketing.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram, talking with Dr. Ivan Pongrasek from the Economics Department here at Hillsdale College, but he's also a professional, well-respected surf guitar player. More on that as we continue the conversation. Dr. Pongrasek, so you mentioned a lot of these songs have no words at all, and I imagine you helped write some of the songs that you played in those bands. What's the challenge, or perhaps is it a freedom in composing music without lyrics, mm-hmm. without putting words to the melody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I would definitely think of it as freedom rather than a challenge. And maybe because I was so into instrumental music from the very beginning, you know, I was inspired to pick up the guitar mostly because of the Shadows at the age of 13. And I just loved their sound, and I loved Hank Marvin, the lead guitar player, and his particular style and tone. And to me, it came very naturally. And I loved being able to imagine these melodies that were highly evocative of various places. And that actually is what I ended up really loving about surf music. So Dick Dale, who I mentioned, his father was Lebanese. And so when he was growing up, he had this whole half of his family was from Lebanon, and they would play the instrument called the oud, which is a North African instrument. And that became a big part of his influence. And it was his grandfather that would play the oud, and he would hear all these melodies. And he actually started incorporating that as he was developing surf music. Mm-hmm. So it ended up becoming a major influence to have a lot of Middle Eastern melodies and these kind of Mediterranean, North African melodies. And then that spilled over into, of course, they were just north of Mexico. So they were listening to a lot of Mexican radio, and yeah, they would hear the folk music, Mexican folk music. And then that spilled over into like Spanish melodies and flamenco kind of stuff. And all of that ended up becoming a major kind of the DNA of surf music. That all brought it together for me. Like, this is really cool stuff. This is something that is, you know, that I can just close my eyes and I can assign stories in my own mind. It unleashes the imagination. There's nobody telling you mm-hmm. what the song is about, you know, what you should be feeling, what you should be thinking, right? If you are willing to open up your imagination, you can actually assign any kind of a story to that song.
Dr. Yvonne Pongrassic, you're an economics professor here at Hillsdale, but during that time, which is now, you know, decades, you've been touring, recording, rehearsing with these bands in addition to the full academic career. How did you manage that?
Not so easy.
Yeah.
It required some sacrifices. It did help, of course, that we have summers off mostly, yes. You know, not entirely, but so I was able to do most of my touring in the summer, which is of course the best time to be touring anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And fortunately I was always in bands with people that had fairly flexible schedules themselves and wanted to make this happen. And so, you know, we were able to tour all around the country and Europe. And, you know, we got to play in Italy, Spain, France, Germany, Switzerland, Holland, through the years. And, so it definitely did help to have the summers off. And that's when I would do most of it.
Yeah.
And then during the school year, I would mostly play in, well, my band here since I've been at Hillsdale College has been, the Madeira, and the Madeira is based in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So we would play mostly around Indiana, but a little bit in Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, places like that. So that, you know, if I could drive within 3 or 4 hours one direction, I would be able to do that on the weekend.
Is there any particular performance or any particular venue you've played over the years that stands out as particularly meaningful?
Yeah, absolutely. Almost certainly a lot of those European shows are very special. And in particular, there's probably the largest surf music festival, which is still, it's not huge. Surf music is a very underground genre.
Yeah.
So we can't compare it to, you know, other major festivals. That's not a fair comparison. But there is probably the best known surf music festival. It's called the Surfer Joe Festival,
mm-hmm.
and it's in Livorno, Italy, which is just outside of Pisa, and it's right on the Ligurian Sea there on the Mediterranean. And I've been fortunate enough to play it, I think, 4 times altogether through the years, and probably the 2015 performance and the 2018 performance, those two stand out. And the 2015 performance was with a kind of a strange band. It was called the Blair Pongrassic Band. And it was Blair is John Blair, who is the guy that's widely referred to as the surf music historian.
Mm-hmm.
And his band, John and the Night Riders, are credited with starting the surf music revival around 1979, 1980. And we became friendly. In fact, we became friends, and he got an offer to do a European tour, and he didn't actually have a band at that time. So he approached me and said, "Hey, would you like to go tour Europe?" And I said, "Well, I'll twist my arm, sure." And so we ended up playing at this Surfer Joe Festival, and that was actually our debut show. We had never played as a band before, and it was the Madeira drummer Dane Carter and a Southern California bass player who we all knew and is phenomenal, John Paul Ballack. And the four of us, we practiced for the first time ever as a band 2 days before our performance. I think actually, no, the day before, come to think of it. And we just came, we were all completely jet lagged. So, you know, we flew over, and within a few hours, we did our first practice, and then we practiced again the next afternoon, and then we performed that evening. And we played a mixture of his stuff and my stuff, and I do write a lot of it, and it was an incredible experience. And there were probably about 1500 people there, for which for me is a massive crowd.
Yeah.
And they knew who we were. These are pretty, you know, hardcore surf music fans, and so they just loved us. And that was probably the greatest surf music experience I had.
A couple of quick questions here as we wrap things up. Who do you love listening to? Who are your favorite guitarists to listen to?
So I mentioned Hank Marvin of the Shadows, and he remains, you know, to this day, 40-some years later, he's by far my favorite. And so, you know, if he's good enough for David Gilmour or Brian May and Mark Knopfler, definitely good enough for me. I love Dick Dale. He had a much more limited output as a guitar player, but he's simply inimitable. Mm-hmm. The guy was a force of nature. A couple of my different bands got to open for him, and I got to meet him quite a few times, and his sound was just massive. And the fact that he was doing that back in 61, playing with so much force, power, volume, it was highly inspiring. And so from the surf music and instrumental rock music world, those are my main two influences. And outside of that, I love Richard Blackmore of Deep Purple and Rainbow, and he's a huge influence. I think that guy is just absolutely from another planet. But those are my three main ones.
And then finally, for people who are listening who might not be familiar with surf music at all, we've mentioned a lot of bands throughout the course of The Shadows, Ventures, Dick Dale, certainly. Are there any modern bands still active who are carrying that torch forward?
Oh, actually, yeah, the scene is very much fully active, mm-hmm. and it's a kind of a global scene. There's a lot of stuff happening in Japan. There's a lot of stuff happening in Europe. Tons of stuff happening in Europe, and so you have Mr. Surfer Joe, Lorenzo Valdambrini. He's an Italian guy who puts on those festivals, and mm-hmm. he actually tours around the world. He's about my age, so I'm 56. He's probably maybe a couple of years younger than me, and he's still touring and recording music. He's great, an amazing guy, and a very fun guy too. Probably my favorite current performing band is from the Netherlands, and they're called the Phantom Four. And they are just a phenomenal band. They have a lot of these world influences. And the guitar player from the Phantom Four had a band called the Treble Spankers before them. And they were a huge influence, a huge inspiration for me to actually get into surf music initially. And there are a lot of American bands that are playing, the Aqualads from Charlotte, and Jeremy DeHart, who is my compadre in Lords of Atlantis. He's carrying on with the Aqualads. The Aqualads have been around for like 25 years or something. And so those are just the surf coasters from Japan. They are still active. They're one of my favorites. Absolutely remarkable band.
Dr. Ivan Pongrasek, he is William E. Hibbs and Ludwig von Mises, Chair of Economics at Hillsdale College, also Professor of Economics and great guitar player. I live down the block, and so I occasionally hear him playing in his backyard. It's very nice. You can see his band, Space Cossacks, Madeira, Lords of Atlantis. Dr. Pongrasek, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's my pleasure.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Paul Hosmer from Hillsdale's Physics Department and Dr. Ivan Pongrasek. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.